Happy Mother's Day. You know, as your pastoral leadership team, we met and we were talking about today, and we definitely wanted to bless not just the moms, but all the women of Crossline and everybody watching this online. So we widened the scope of the message today to talk about the power of a strong woman. And I'm excited about today's message, both for women and for men. Now, when you think about your life, you gotta look at it sort of like a puzzle, where if certain pieces are not there, the picture is not complete, right? If certain people don't intersect with your life, if certain people don't show up in your life, the picture of your life as you know it today just isn't what it is. And in my life, so many of those intersections, so many of those puzzle pieces were completed by strong women, beginning with my mom, military wife, served her country all over the planet, mother of seven. I tell people, they're like, so what was it like growing up in your family? I said, are you familiar with the terrorist cell? There were five boys and two girls in my family. It was wild. But survivor of World War II prison camp, tough and tender, she taught me. She taught me courage and she taught me compassion. She taught me sacrifice and she taught me service. You know, then there's my sister, Alicia. No Alicia, no tutor in junior high and high school, no tutor in junior high and high school, no UCLA, no Chrissy, my wife, no meeting my pastor and friend, J.P. Jones. And you talk about that critical puzzle piece. No Alicia, that trajectory totally changes. My teachers growing up, Barbara Mueller, Peggy Casey, they intervened and they helped me and encouraged me in my writing. You know, and some 30 books later, here I am. But they intervened and they came into my life and they had a voice and they actually took time outside of school to call home and see how I'm doing and spoke life and encouragement into me as my teachers. Then there's the entrepreneur, Phyllis Gustafson. She had two businesses. One was a direct mail business and the other was, she started frozen yogurt before frozen yogurt was a thing, right? Back in the 80s. And she was my first professional business mentor. I mean, she gave me management jobs. She trusted me with money and the shop and the store. And she mentored me in business. And then I just think about the most influential woman in my life, Chrissy. And I just, it's going to be hard to say, but friend, advisor, confidant, right? Coach, cheerleader, family warrior, believing in me. Just, if she's not there, I'm not who I am. Just doesn't happen. And then I just think of my strong sisters in Christ. I think of Lori Marshall, the women's director here when I first came to Crossline. What a strong woman of God. I think of Kay Warren. I think of Christine Kane. I think of these leaders, these women who teach the word of God and who inspire people and inspire me. And then I just think about our Crossline women on staff. They're the ones who I got together with. I called on them. I'm like, I need your help. And they help shape what we're going to talk about today. But just think about it. If their voice isn't there, if their belief isn't there, yes, if their beauty isn't there, if their dignity, if their care, their concern, their wisdom, their insight is not there, my beliefs and my behaviors change, and for the worse. I'm poorer as a man if those strong women are not a part of my life. I don't achieve goals. I don't see beyond my own maybe negative self-perception or don't see myself correctly. And I get help facing the myriad of challenges that are out there. So I share that all with you just to say that I have had this supernatural design over my life. And I know that to either a small or a significant degree, you know what I'm talking about. They don't come into my life. They don't guide me with their best strengths and their best character. And if they choose to be selfish, if they choose not to care, if they choose not to exercise this superpower of influence, I'm not the same person. And I share that with you women. Because as women, I would ask you, what beliefs are shaping your behaviors? What's forming your character that leads to conduct that influences others? What identity is commanding your energy? How are you using your God-given ability to influence the people around you, the men around you. Because I just want to let you know there are men around you, just like me, who really, really need you. Now, as for all the men listening to me, you need to ask yourself, how do I respond to a strong woman of faith that is present in my life? Do I see and appreciate and align and activate her gifts and strengths so that I can accomplish more than I would by myself? Am I secure enough as a man to align and affirm those strengths? How do I engage? How do I activate those strengths for me? See, this is really important for our community of faith here, our Crosslined family, because right now our culture is so divided and divisive and trains us not to be for each other. And in this community, we are called into a kingdom dimension that calls us in the power of the Spirit of Christ to unite and to rise above culture and rise above all that divisiveness out there, to come alongside of each other as husbands and wives and as brothers and sisters in Christ, to rise above broken male culture and broken female culture. It's not traditionalism, it's not feminism, because it's a movement of partnership rooted in the gospel of Jesus that tells us who we are, and when you know who you are, you know what to do. Amen? That's the community that we want to build here at Crossline Church. And you see this modeled in the Bible when the odds are like 1 billion to 1. Try the 8th century BC, all right? It's a very public example of a man who rises above personal and cultural obstacles, appreciates the gifts and strengths of a woman God has placed in his life, and he proactively engages her to win a victory bigger than himself. And in a rare twist, at least when we watch the media of today, in a rare twist, the woman is like, right on, I need you too. Let's go to battle. I'm with you. You see, God in the Bible in Judges chapter 5 shows us a reflection of what I believe that God wants to do today in the body of Christ. Right now, in this cultural moment, which is so divided by political war, by economic war, by racial division, by gender division, I feel like God is speaking a message of uniting right here for our family. Let me tell you who the main characters of the story are. The first main character is Deborah. She's a woman of faith. She's a judge appointed by God to lead a nation. And she's a prophet, which means that her job is to discern what God is saying and then relay it to people. She's strong. And Deborah was called by God to lead in a very difficult time. At the time that Deborah is called to be a judge, the nation of Israel, a good chunk of the people, are held captive by a Canaanite king. And she's pleading with God, what do I do? How do I lead these people? And God answers Deborah's prayer by asking her to call on and send into battle a man by the name of Barak to go against a Canaanite general that is like the General Patton of his time. He's got numbers. He's got iron chariots. He's famous. His name is Sisera. And what follows is a tense, challenging, but prophetic parable for you and I. So I want you to get that picture. People are suffering, and God wants to help them. And let's roll the film in Judges chapter 4. We read in Judges chapter 4, now Deborah, a prophet, the wife of Lapidoth, was leading Israel at the time. She held court under the palm of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the hill country of Ephraim. And the Israelites went up to her to have their disputes decided. She sent for Barak, son of Abinoam, from Kadesh in Naphtali, and said to him, the Lord, the God of Israel, commands you, go, take with you 10,000 men of Naphtali and Zebulun and lead them up to Mount Tabor. I will lead Sisera, the commander of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his troops to the Kishon River and give him into your hands. So you see the picture? People are suffering. They need deliverance. There's a judge, a leader, a strong woman. She's calling out to God, what do I do? And then God speaks and says, you got to send for Barak. And then he says, this is what I want Barak to do. And she's faithful. She's obedient. Now, just imagine the cultural obstacles going on in that moment. All right? A, she's a woman. B, there's no women in combat. C, she's not a military strategic person. But she's saying, hey, I heard a word from the Lord that... And Barak comes. Now, when we look at this sort of puzzle, I want you to see what God's victory required. And if you're taking notes, if you downloaded the notes, or if you have them on your bed, I want you to write this down. God's victory, right, required a strong woman of God. Again, spiritually gifted, prophet, wife. Says it right there, the wife of Lapidoth, okay? Not my kind of name, but it's there. Lapidoth, right? She's leading a nation. She's holding court. She has the most powerful position, right? So God's victory needs a strong woman of God, but guess what? God's victory needs a strong warrior for God. A guy who knows how to handle the blade, a guy who knows military strategy, a guy who knows how to be, a sheepdog to step between the wolf and the people, all right? So God's victory needs a strong woman of God, a strong warrior for God, and then God's victory requires, write this down, a strong word from God. God guiding the strong woman of God, God guiding the strong warrior of God into a battle to secure the victory, to do what? To deliver people who are suffering. I love the way this is set up because both Deborah and Barak are in a desperate situation. By the way, Barak knows who Sisera is. He knows that he's outgunned. He knows that he's outmanned. This guy has a reputation, and he's a little desperate. Deborah's desperate. The people in their community are suffering. They need deliverance. And then, in that moment, God starts speaking. Right? Now, let's roll the film and see how Barak responds to what Deborah heard from the Lord. All right? Judges chapter 4, starting in verse 8. Barak said to her, if you go with me, I will go. But if you don't go with me, I won't go. Certainly, I will go with you, said Deborah. But because of the course you are taking, the honor will not be yours, for the Lord will deliver Sisera into the hands of a woman. So Deborah went with Barak to Kadesh. Then Barak summoned Zebulun and Naphtali, and 10,000 men went up under his command. Deborah also went up with him. Are you seeing this? What's going on? Then Deborah said to Barak, go, this is the day the Lord has given Sisera into your hands. Has not the Lord gone ahead of you? So Barak went down to Mount Tabor with 10,000 men following him. At Barak's advance, the Lord routed Sisera and all his chariots and army by the sword, and Sisera got down from his chariot and fled on foot. Hello. What an awesome victory. Not just for Israel, but for the sexes. A man who knows what he's doing with a blade. A woman who gives the go order. How about that? It's like, all right, green light, let's go. And she's on the battlefield with him. It's so cool. And they're working together. But man, in the middle of it all, I'm sure they're thinking, it's like, wow, this is different. All right, sure feels different. How's it going, Deborah? Oh, pretty good. I've never been to a battle before in my life. I'm usually under the palm tree making decisions for people. I'm a judge. I'm not a warrior. Go! And they're kind of working it out. But you see how much faith each person had to have to make it work? They had to go, hey, guess what? God's calling us together. God's calling us to partner. You have wisdom and discernment and a connection to God I don't have. You got a blade. You know how to battle. You're a warrior for God. Okay, cool. Let's go. And then they rout Sisera. It's like the equivalent of beating the largest standing army, the best army, the one with a lot of iron chariots. Because they got a word from the Lord. So everybody say this with me. Strong woman of God. Strong warrior of God. Strong word of God. It's a picture. they come together. And I love Barak's confession. You know what it was like in the 8th century BC to say, all right, if you go with me, I'll go. I wonder if the other generals were watching him when this was going down. Like, wait, what did he just say? Did he just say he won't go to battle unless a woman goes with him? I think that's what he just said. Pretty cool. But he's not listening or seeking the approval of people. He's seeking the approval of God. And he got a word from God. And he's running with the word from God, not for the approval of men. And what do we see here in this passage? I want you to write a couple of things down. The first thing that we see is we see humility defeat pride. You see both Deborah and Barak, they realize, can't do this alone. You know when we get in trouble is when we act like we can. We act like we don't need each other. In this spiritual family, the Bible says, the eye can't say to the hand, I don't need you. The foot can't say to the arm, I don't need you. No, when God talks about his family, he talks about it where there's this linkage where if we don't have each other, we don't have our full function. We gotta be together. And here it's so clear that they had to humble themselves. And you see humility defeating pride. Secondly, you see courage defeat culture. This is very relevant for the times that we live in right now. You see courage defeating culture. In the 8th century BC, let's just say it was very patriarchally and traditionally male, which is not a bad thing, but in this instance, right, strength needed a matching strength for victory. And so we see courage defeating culture, the political climate, the social climate, the military climate. Third, we see faith defeating fear. You're gonna let a woman give the go order? Yes, I am. And he does, and she does. And that's faith defeating fear. Can you imagine if you do something all your life, and then you do something all your life, and your strength is over here, and you're confident in your skills, you've been to battle, you know when to say go, you know when to lead the charge, but you're waiting on somebody who's never been in battle. Might be a little anxiety producing, don't you think? But Deborah was there, and Deborah was in connection with God, and Deborah said, all right, go. Perfect timing, perfect victory. There's a parable in that. And then, fourth, we see unity defeating the enemy. They couldn't have done it without each other. And can I just speak into our existence and community life here at Crossline? We're not gonna win the battles that we need to win. We're not gonna free the oppressed. We're not gonna serve the community the way we can if we're divided. We gotta come together and we gotta see each other's strengths for what they are. Spiritual gifts, natural gift set. And we don't need to discourage them or be threatened by them. We need to encourage them. Can I get an amen? When you see somebody in their gifts, it's winsome. It's like you're in your sweet spot, man. You gotta go with that. And we need to encourage each other in that. So, unlikely team, unlikely victory. What does that lead to when you defeat pride and rise above culture and rise above fear to defeat a real enemy? Well, we read on in Judges chapter 5. There is 31 verses of worship in Judges chapter 5. Because the unlikely team with the unlikely victory produces this unlikely and uncommon celebration and song. It's called the Song of Deborah. And it's sung by a woman who believes in the strong men around her. It says this, on that day, Deborah and Barak, son of Abinoam, sang this song. When the princes in Israel take the lead, when the people willingly offer themselves, praise the Lord. Hear this, you kings. Listen, you rulers. I will sing to the Lord. I will praise the Lord, the God of Israel, in song. My heart is with Israel's princes, with the willing volunteers from among the people. Praise the Lord. Wake up, Wake up, Deborah. Wake up. Wake up. Break out in song. Arise, Barak. Take captive your captives, son of Abinoam. So may all your enemies perish, Lord. Let's finish it together. But may all who love you be like the sun when it rises in its strength. Wow. What an awesome celebration of people coming together. Two leaders, a man and a woman, setting aside all the silly stuff because people are suffering in order to combine and match their strengths, shoulder to shoulder, shields locked, spiritual weapons at the ready, actual weapons at the ready. Let's go. So on your notes, I just want to unpack what we just read there in the celebration song. Women and men who rise above culture to win victories for God. Number one, they wake up to what God wants to do in their time. You see, you're alive and you're on planet Earth and you're in this community of faith with specific intention and a specific time where specific things are going on. But you're not supposed to act like culture. You're supposed to walk forward together in Christ and rise above what's going on so that the world can see what a relationship with God does to men and women versus listening to all the narratives out there that try to tell you who to be and how to be a man and a woman. Secondly, men and women who rise above culture to win victories for God, they build up their sister and brother in God. In this community, can I just tell you, we're gonna build each other up. Are you guys up for that? I think encouragement is at an all-time low and discouragement is at an all-time high. I know that 9 out of 10 of you have problems in your life that you would love for someone to get underneath the rock with you and help resolve. There's issues, there's feelings, there's negative emotions, there's stuff going on. And we don't need more discouragement and division. We need more encouragement and more building up. It's just too easy to be a critic. You know that's not a spiritual gift, by the way? Nitpicking is not listed as a spiritual gift in the Bible. But what do we see in the Song of Deborah, right? We see a man and a woman building up their brother and sister in God, in his purposes, in his calling, in his mission. You know what I need from you, ladies? I need you to build me up in my purpose, in my mission, in my calling. Men, do you know what the women next to you need? They need you to build them up in their identity, in their purpose, in their mission, and their calling, because ultimately, it doesn't matter what you think, it only matters what God thinks. So we have to get into the battle, but if we're divided, the house divided always collapses. Not this house, Jesus says. This house defeats the gates of hell. This house defeats the spirit of the world. This house defeats division. It defeats evil. But we gotta be together, right? In Christ for that mission. Third, women and men who rise above culture to win victories for God. They talk up the right behavior in the other when they see it. You know what I noticed about this culture? It's waiting for you to fail. This culture waits for people to fail so then they can pounce on you and then they can bolster their narrative. You know what, man and woman of God? That's not for us. It's not for us. It's too easy to do, by the way, and takes no character to be a critic and to judge people, all right? There's too many important things going on in today's world for us to be divided and to be watching each other. It's almost like we're ready to pounce on someone else's flaw. You know, God, if he treated us that way, he doesn't pounce on our flaws. You know what God gives us? Grace. He covers our flaws. And you're glad he does. Amen? You're glad God covers your flaws with his grace and covered your flaws with his blood so that you could have a relationship with him. Yeah, he sees your mistakes, but he covers them. What would the world see if God's church, grace-receiving sinners, in turn, freely gave away what God has given to them? Freely you've received, freely give. Matthew 10:8. So you see a man and woman talk up the right behavior. Deborah's like, man, it's so awesome when men step up and show up and go to battle for people who are oppressed and who are held captive. This is awesome. I love that. Fourth, women and men who rise above culture to win victories for God lift up their hearts to God together when victorious. We share the victory. Amen. In a body of believers, your victory is my victory. My victory is your victory, right? One member is victorious, we're all victorious. One member suffers, we all suffer, the Bible teaches. So we're in it together. There's a great quote by a guy named Neil Strauss. It's in the notes. I don't know if they could put it up on the screen, but he says something very, very important. He says, by believing in our noble nature, women have the amazing power to inspire us to live up to it. How cool is that quote? And I can tell you, ladies, as a man, it is 150% true. We need to know what energizes you. We need to know the standard. We need to know what makes you joy-filled inside when you see certain behaviors out there in your man or in your men or in male culture that make you say, that's what I like. Because then it inspires that ethos in us that makes Marvel Comics billion sellers. It taps into that ethos in every man, right? We want special power. We want to defend the weak. We want to stick it to the bad guy. We want to help the helpless. We want to deliver justice. And you are a key voice in that. But if we listen to the siren call of culture, the culture that says, oh, don't trust him. Don't trust him with kids. Don't trust him to be committed. Don't trust him to be a man. Don't trust him to grow up. But if we, in the vacuum of having a clear goal, that's what Neil Strauss is talking about. By believing in our nobler nature, because there is one in there, ladies. And can I just pause for a sec? I know there's enough pain in the water caused by men in your life to make you think that there's not, but there is. And through Jesus, people can change and they can become new and they can get a new identity and they can make new choices. Amen? I know that's my story. I change. I change from leaving a wake of destruction to hopefully leaving a wake of blessing in people's lives. So Barak, his response to Deborah, I have to say this, it wasn't manly because it was godly. May not have been manly for his time, but it sure was godly. What did he do? Lesson one from a Barak. This is for all the men. Be humble. Be humble. You ever heard that phrase? No man is an island. You aren't. You need help. I need help. We're not all sufficient in ourselves, but you know what keeps you from getting the help that you need? Pride. Just pride. And pride is just the other side of fear. Right? Why are we prideful? Because we're afraid. Because we're afraid we might lose something. We might lose a little image, you know? Why am I talking like Rocky? I don't know. But we might lose something, right? What will they think? Well, how will they view me? Well, you know, will I be tough? You know? Man, you're stupid if you don't access the strong women in your life and get their help. You're just dumb. You're not strong. Just like, yeah, great, be strong, right over the cliff. Have fun with that. How's it going down there? Barak's like, I'm not going over the cliff. I'm listening to this woman of God. Key words. Woman of God. Because he knows that she knows who she is. And he knows that because she knows who she knows what to do. And she can listen to him. Lesson two from Barak, don't miss an opportunity. Don't miss an opportunity. You know, when I look at this story, man, Barak could have rationalized not cooperating super easily, lived his life, gone down with a reputation, the whole nine yards, but he didn't rationalize not working with this strong woman who God put there for his benefit. He didn't want to miss the opportunity. He's like, man, okay, God's speaking to her. I want God to speak to me through her. And then she's going to give the go order and I'm going to get a victory. Boom. You know what, guys? You're just missing opportunities. When you've got a good woman, a woman of faith that's in your life, by not talking, not sharing, not opening up just a little bit to let her into your world so that she can help you. Amen, ladies? But guys, we're losing. Why are we losing the battle? Maybe it's because we're not listening or just strong enough on the inside to just go, hey, I need some help with this. What do you think? Gosh, you know how different the world would be if we just opened up to each other and said, so what do you think? So many great solutions that used to remain hidden because of pride and fear now come out and we start working together. Third lesson of Barak, know your limitations. So Barak, in this story, he knows he's a man of war. He knows she probably has just a little bit better connection to God on this one, right? Maybe a little more wisdom, maybe some, and man, this is the stakes are high. And that's another principle in this whole story. When the stakes are high, get advice and win the victory. So this is a strong word. We wanted to make sure that we honored our women. Crossline Church, we honor women. We protect our women. We believe they have God-given ministries and roles, and they are so central to who we are and where we're headed. But we also believe in strong men, and strength isn't the issue for either. Don't be afraid of strength. Is their character and compassion and the Spirit of God guiding the strength? And if that's in place, trust the strength. Use the strength to win the victory that you wouldn't win by yourself. Now, in the book of Philippians, there's a strong word for God's men and women living in divisive times. And I want to read it. And then I just want to make some declaration statements about this church and who we are. And you can decide for yourself. That's the community I want to be in, or maybe it's not for you. But let me read Philippians 2, 1 through 7. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others in your relationships with one another. Have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used, listen, to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. That top line where it says, therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, everybody say that with me, united with Christ. One more time, united with Christ. See, there's the well that we draw from. And when we're united with Christ, the well begins to nourish us and give us life. We get comfort from his love. We get sharing with his Holy Spirit. We get tenderness, compassion. And then we have the sacred and high privilege of giving the same things that we receive from Christ to other people. Freely you've received, freely give. And so as we go forward, I just want you to know that that's the one relationship that makes true partnership, whether it's man and man, woman and woman, man and woman, parents and kids. There's one relationship that makes unity possible, and it's a relationship with Jesus, because in uniting yourself to Jesus, you receive tenderness, compassion, grace, mercy, truth, help, power. And then when you receive it, the mission of the Christian life is to give away what you receive, and it makes all of our relationships work. But the key thing is you have to be united with Christ. Question. Are you united with Christ? Do you know him? Do you have a relationship with God? Or maybe you've come here and this is the first time you're kind of hearing about this story of two people coming together for a victory, and maybe you're suffering defeats in your personal life, in your private life. Well, the solution for you, my friend, is that you unite yourself to God's Son, Jesus. And as you unite yourself to his life, and he brings his life into your life, watch his life flow through your life and into the lives of other people. And you defeat pride, and you defeat fear, and you defeat culture, and you start to live for an audience of one. That's the relationship that you need. You need encouragement. You need compassion. You need grace. You need mercy. You need love. You need humility. If you're not united to Christ, you're not free to say no to all these other voices that train you to divide versus bring you together. So I want you to know, if that's you, Christ is calling you to him. Christ is calling you to believe in and honor him. And as you do that, you're gonna start believing in and honoring the people in your life. The men are here because they recognize that they have a gift in you, ladies. And they woke up real early this morning. A lot of them didn't have coffee, so we needed a pep talk. But man, they're here because they want to bless you. So I'm going to read some declarative statements about who we are as a church family. And then I really want you to receive the blessing the men want to pass through them, because they're connected to God. God is working in their life, and they want to extend their blessing and that anointing to you. So at Crossline Church, we are surrendered to God alone. At Crossline Church, we're listening to God. At Crossline Church, we are waking up in this cultural moment to what God is doing. We are building each other up in God. We are talking up the right actions that we see happening that affirm God's purpose and plan and love. We are celebrating victories together. We are for each other's strengths. We are for how God made us uniquely as men and as women. At Crossline, we do not live out of past hurts and traumas and losses. We give ourselves to God, and he begins to heal us, and we live out of God's love. We don't look for flaws in one another. As grace receivers, we are grace givers. At Crossline Church, we're disciples and we're learners who partner with each other to grow. At Crossline Church, we are the body, united for victory.